Hi, everyone. Gene Nichols back with you for another edition of Community Roundup, and very happy to have with us again Sally Pipes. She is the president and CEO and a Thomas W. Smith Fellow in Healthcare Policy with the Pacific Research Institute. Sally, great to have you here. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be able to be back on your program. And healthcare is a very large issue in the whole policy debate. And going forward into the 2020 election, I believe it will be the key domestic policy issue in the campaign.
Some of the people that have talked about Medicare for all, specifically Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, Sanders doesn't seem to be backing off it, but Warren seems to have somewhat softened her otherwise rather hard push for it. What is your take on what's happening as to these candidates that are pushing for Medicare for all? And is that a panacea for our ailing healthcare system now?
Senator Sanders is definitely not backing off. He's a progressive socialist, and he said within the first week of him becoming the president, he would begin to introduce his Medicare for All single-payer health care system, i.e. all private health care, private insurance would be banned. Elizabeth Warren, of course, was one of the four Democratic candidates who really supported single-payer Medicare for All. Senator Sanders, Senator Warren, Mayor de Blasio from New York, and Kamala Harris, the senator from California. So Bernie is still very committed to Medicare for All. It's been his issue for many, many years. It sort of came alive in 2016 when he was running against Hillary Clinton for the Democratic nomination. It's been a big issue since then. Senator Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts, on the other hand, a big fan of Medicare for All. She would not admit what the cost of her plan would be for a long time. She was being pressed all the time. Finally, on November 1st, she came out with her cost estimate. It would add $20.5 trillion to federal spending over 10 years. The total would be $50 trillion over 10 years. She got a lot of backlash for that, even against liberal economists and people in the policy debate. As a result, on November 15th, she started to push back a bit, saying, well, I think within the first 100 days, I would introduce a public option, which would be a government insurance plan, which would compete against private insurers in the market, and it would be free to anyone earning below $50,000. Then at year three, she would then introduce her Medicare for All single-payer legislation. So it's more of a stepping stone approach. Deep down, of course, she is really a socialist. She wants Medicare for All. She wants to sort of continue her rise in the polls for the Democratic nomination. I think this has hit her hard, though. I think that she's lost a bit of her momentum because of switching, just like Kamala Harris did when she said she was for single payer and then said, well, I don't really know if I am.
Bernie Sanders, of course, is not the individual that the Democratic Party is going to allow to get the nomination for president. He is not going to be the flag bearer going into 2020. Elizabeth Warren very well could be, but Bernie Sanders really is not who the Democrats want going against anybody on the GOP side. Am I correct?
I think you're absolutely right. He really is a committed progressive socialist. He had spent his honeymoon in Russia. He is totally committed to government takeover of our healthcare system. Of course, he never liked to talk about what it would cost. Finally, after the Rand Institute, the Mercatus Center at George Mason, and the Urban Institute, a liberal think tank, came out and said his plan would cost between $32 to $40 trillion over 10 years. That would be the increase in federal spending. So he did come out and say, okay, yes, my plan would cost $32 to $40 trillion over 10 years. And he talked about some tax increases. He's kind of backed off that. But definitely, it would be very expensive. It would result in long waits for care, ration care, a doctor shortage, and higher and new taxes. But you're right. I don't think he will be the candidate. Elizabeth Warren, you know, is, as I say, pushing now her stepping stone approach through the public option. Another person who seems to be rising, and certainly in the Iowa caucus, is South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg. He has been rising in the polls. He has been hitting Senator Warren and Senator Sanders on single payer, saying that he wants to build on Obamacare because Americans like their employer-sponsored coverage. But, you know, he also wants to build on Obamacare, have a public option competing against private insurers. And he did say that if the insurance companies don't reduce their premiums and deductibles, he would be very much in favor of Medicare for All. But all of these people want America to have a Canadian-style single-payer health care system where in Canada, the average wait today from seeing a primary care doctor to getting treatment by a specialist is just under 5 months. Back in 1993, that was 9.3 weeks, just over 2 months, and it's not free. Sanders keeps saying the health care system in Canada is fantastic. It's free. The average Canadian family pays per year in hidden taxes $13,311 to have a health care system that rations care and has long waits. And also, Senator Sanders and Warren say they want to have a much more comprehensive program than Canada's program, i.e. not only free coverage, but no co-pays, no deductibles, free long-term care, free drugs, free dental, free vision. And that would add tremendously to the cost, which, of course, has been estimated overall, not just the federal increase in spending, but about $59 trillion over 10 years. And we would face doctor shortage, long waits, etc.
We're talking with Sally Pipes, President and CEO, and Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Pacific Research Institute. She's a Thomas W. Smith Fellow in Health Care Policy. Sally, right now, the system that we have here, there are some doctors who don't accept Medicare payments. Oftentimes, the Medicare payments are far less than what doctors can get on their own. There's no obligation for a private physician right now to accept Medicare payments. Can you tie that into our discussion and also maybe answer the whole idea of what about boutique care? I know people that pay a set fee for an annual coverage. They have access readily to their doctor. They don't get insurance involved at all.
Well, exactly. Now, under Medicare, doctors are paid 40% below what they get for treating private patients. And that is what Warren's plan and Sanders' plan. They want doctors to be paid at the Medicare rates, which in my mind, and I'm sure, will result in a number of doctors retiring early, going into other professions, or just retiring. And I think the bigger issue is that the best and brightest young people will not go into medicine if they think the government is going to control how they practice medicine, how they're going to be paid, and that payment would be much lower. I mean, my own OBGYN says he loses money on treating Medicaid patients in California. That's Medi-Cal. He only breaks even on Medicare patients. And so he has to make his money on treating people with private coverage. One in three new Medicare eligibles today cannot find a doctor because doctors won't take them. And as you say, I mean, they don't have to take them. This is very upsetting to people who, you know, are 65 and who've retired and they have had a doctor for a long time and the doctors have all, I won't take you anymore because of the lower rates. So this is very frightening, but it's a reality. And, you know, when Bernie Sanders says, well, you know, Medicare is free, first of all, we pay through our working lives a lot in taxes for Medicare. About 29% of people 65 and over are still getting their coverage from their employer, and so they're not actually on Medicare because they don't want to have a hard time finding a doctor or getting treatments. And about 30-some percent of people on Medicare either get the Medicare Advantage or a Medicare supplemental plan because that's the only way that they can really get access to good medicine. So this is a very important point. The federal government totally takes over the healthcare system. And as House Member Pramila Jayapal up in Washington State said, 1 million people will lose their jobs in the insurance industry. Senator Warren said 2 million, half will be people in the insurance industry, and they can find jobs in, you know, the auto insurance or the home insurance industry, which, of course, is just ridiculous. And another 1 million will be a loss of doctors and doctors in hospitals. So it's very, very worrying, and it's very upsetting for what this would mean for our healthcare system. And in the latest Kaiser Family Foundation poll that came out this week, 53% of people polled favor single-payer Medicare for all. 66% favor that public option. That 53% is down from 57% back in April. So I think that many of us who are out there talking about the reality of Medicare for all single payer is actually having an impact, because in the polling, support goes down to 37% when people are told, well, of course, the single payer, you would lose your employer-sponsored coverage, which 180 million Americans today have employer-sponsored coverage. So they think that, well, that single payer would be for other people, but not for them. So that support drops significantly. You mentioned concierge medicine. A lot of docs are now doing concierge medicine, not taking insurance, but people would pay a monthly fee or an annual fee to their doctor, and so they get appointments quickly. But if we get a Medicare for all single payer system, all private coverage would be outlawed, including any type of concierge or boutique practice of medicine.
So, in other words, the federal government would have to pay for everything and you wouldn't have any other options at all.
Exactly. And I've just had one bill that I sent for my long-term care and another wedding present sent through the U.S. Post Office. and neither one of them has been delivered, and they're considered lost. And I think if people think about the quality of they get through the U.S. Postal Service or at the DMV, these are the people that would be taking care of your health care, and it would mean expanding significantly the federal government's role in health care. And I think that really should be an eye-opener for the American people, because the DMV and the post office do not provide the most efficient service for Americans.
All right, give us a couple of quick sources that we may be able to access if we're looking to read up more on this idea of Medicare for All or some of the other writings that you may have published elsewhere that we can tap into to take a look for ourselves.
Well, thank you. Our website is www.pacificresearch.org. My weekly Fox column, my biweekly Forbes and Washington Examiner columns are there. And my new book, False Premise, False Promise, The Disastrous Reality of Medicare for All, will be out from Encounter Books in New York on January 7th. My latest book, my earlier book, The False Promise of Single-Payer Healthcare from Encounter, is available on Amazon.com.
Very good. My guest has been Sally Pipes, President and CEO and Thomas W. Smith Fellow in Healthcare Policy with the Pacific Research Institute here on the West Coast. Sally, great to talk with you as always, and we'll speak again in the new year and see where this Medicare for All goes as it pertains to the presidential election of 2020.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Great to have you with us on Community Roundup. I'm Gene Nichols.